the lying fourth estate and chest-feeding fake men. Perhaps you've been living in the real world, and by real, I mean the world that actually exists, where actual science matters, where language reflects and denotes objective, immutable phenomena, where truth is valued more than subjective feelings, and where life is yet enveloped in a cozy blanket of freedom. Because of your immersion in reality, perhaps you've been blissfully unaware that an alternate ontological, epistemological, teleological, and moral universe has sprung up in our midst. Let's call it Wonderland. Nope, that's too much fun. Let's call it Oceania. Oceania, of course, has its own language whose purposes are to obfuscate reality and compel linguistic, political, and religious obeisance to the gods of sexual deviance who rule. That language is newspeak. Who speaks newspeak? Leftists of every color of the rainbow. Perversion activists, perv activists, academicians, public school teachers, physicians, psychologists, attorneys, actors, musicians, novelists, and members of the Fourth Estate. While you have been living peaceful lives, suffused with liberty and reality, you may have felt some disturbances in the created universe, which you've dismissed as kind of icky but ultimately trivial. I mean, that's what our political leaders, always the founts of wisdom, keep telling us. Well, prepare for the incursion. Dark unreality is poised to break through in ways so profound that your comforting blankets of freedom will be torn asunder. A recent article in the formerly respectable The Atlantic illustrates the idiocy of leftist journalists who have packed up their computers and moved lock, stock, and poison pens to Oceania. The article, titled "What It's Like to Chest Feed," and subtitled "The Many Obstacles Trans Men and Other Trans Masculine People Run Into When Feeding Infants," is replete with delusional, deceitful leftist rhetoric, itself informed by anti-science leftist ideology. The article profiles a chemically induced bearded lady who mutilated her body in a futile effort to convince herself and the world that she is, in reality, a man. This woman, Trevor McDonald, is legally married to a man. She's had a double mastectomy, which removed milk ducts and glandular tissue, but she left her nether region and internal female organs intact. In 2010, she stopped taking testosterone so that she and her husband, who identifies as homosexual, could have children the old-fashioned way. She and her husband now have two children, a 5-year-old and an 18-month-old. Here's an excerpt from the lying Atlantic article. When Trevor McDonald started chest feeding 5 years ago, he didn't know anyone who had attempted it, nor had any of his doctors ever encountered someone who had. In fact, he was shocked that his body could even produce milk. As a trans man, which is to say a woman, someone who was assigned female at birth but has transitioned to identifying as male, he was born with the mammary glands and milk ducts required for lactation, but he'd had his breast removed, end quote. Ms. McDonald has written a book titled "Where's the Mother?", described by BuzzFeed as offering insight into what it was like for McDonald to be both male and pregnant, end quote. Her book has also been positively reviewed by the non-credible Publishers Weekly, which describes it as a refreshing and insightful narrative that details circumstances that challenge his privilege. Ms. McDonald was also instrumental in forcing a change to the La Leche League's policy on leadership requirements. When Ms. McDonald originally applied to be a leader, La Leche wrote back saying, "Since a La Leche League leader is a mother who breastfed a baby, a man cannot become a La Leche League leader." This enraged the homosexual and sex-rejecting communities. In 2014, La Leche changed its policy, saying, "It was thought that only women could breastfeed. Once it became clear it wasn't as straightforward as that, the policy had to change." Ms. McDonald was not yet done in her pernicious science denial pursuits, and her next effort involved the money of hardworking Canadian taxpayers. While referring to the scientifically male MacDonald as he, The Atlantic ironically calls her effort a scientific approach to her breastfeeding challenges. Here's what The Atlantic says about her scientific approach. He teamed up with diverse group of lactation experts, nurses, midwives, and researchers to publish Transmasculine Individuals' Experiences with Lactation, Chest Feeding, and Gender Identity, a study that was funded by a grant from the Canadian Institute of Health Research and that recently appeared in BMC Pregnancy and Childbirth. It's a qualitative attempt at defining the internal and external difficulties transmasculine people face when chest feeding. The study recruited 22 participants who self-identified as transmasculine and who either were or had been pregnant. MacDonald and his team interviewed these participants about their experiences and analyzed the conversations with a goal of describing and interpreting patterns and themes that emerged, in the study's words. It's an approach that's community-based and trans-led, and the study includes explicit declarations of actions that care providers need to take to better accommodate trans folks. End quote. I can just imagine the chortles of laughter from real scientists reading this description of a, quote, scientific, end quote, study. Evidently, anticipating potential pushback from real scientists, another of the study's authors defended their research. Alana Kibb, or Kibby, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, a registered midwife out of Toronto, Ontario, explains this approach by contending that the wisest people in a community who can speak for it are those living in the community and with lived experience, not the person with the most degrees or years of clinical practice, end quote. No need for any pesky science degrees when employing a, quote, scientific approach, end quote. No siree, all that's needed is a boatload of wisdom and a dollop of lived experience. Kibb does have some advice derived from her and Miss MacDonald's scientific research. She urges the use of newspeak. A quote from The Atlantic says, Kibb is urging care providers to educate themselves about terminology that is gender neutral as opposed to the gendered female language that currently dominates lactation support, end quote. Please note that every article cited in my piece refers to Ms. MacDonald as he. Try to find one mainstream press article that doesn't participate in the leftist fiction that men and women can choose their sex. It's crucial that those who recognize and respect truth work tenaciously to preserve communities in which we and our children can live and move and have our being. The fourth estate, having moved to Oceania, refers to women who have given birth as men and breastfeeding as chest feeding. Clearly, the untethering of journalism from reality means they're no longer using their noggins and the ideas they promote are phantasmagorical at best. So I, while still inhabiting a shrinking corner of reality, will refer to mainstream journalists as fabulists and their untruths as fanny fancies. Influential 20th century journalist Walter Lippmann, borrowing from Shakespeare's Henry IV, Part 1, said, "There can be no higher law in journalism than to tell the truth and to shame the devil." Now 21st century journalists tell lies and honor the devil. What's most tragic in this story is that Ms. MacDonald and her husband are teaching their children that men can have babies.